Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, on this Trinity Sunday, we go to the psalm that we read responsibly a moment ago, Psalm 8, verse 1, in the first half of this psalm. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Now, when you go to Scripture in the Old Testament, you will find that Lord is all caps. And wherever you see all caps in the Old Testament, it's a reference to Yahweh, the holiest name of God, so holy that most of the time the Israelites didn't even speak the name. God addressed them by his name, Yahweh. And then Lord, with the little letters after capital L, means ruler or king. And so we are blessed to know Yahweh, the one true and only God, and to be blessed to know him, to be our Lord, to be our ruler and our king. And we are honored to say with David, O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And so today we celebrate Trinity Sunday, and in this, especially considering the relationships within the Trinity, the three distinct persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But it's good for us, as we have learned in the Creed, as it's clearly stated, that let us not mistake ourselves, God is one. And in Deuteronomy, God reveals himself as such, and here again we see Yahweh, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Yahweh is our God, Yahweh is one. And so by his name, Yahweh distinguishes himself from all the other idols, not other, but idols of the world that the Gentiles have run after to worship. And we see a whole plethora of idols in our current times that are worshiped by man. But God clearly reveals that he is the only God. Whether man likes it or not, God is God. He is Yahweh, and his truth stands. However, God reveals much more about himself, and that is the three distinct persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And this can get kind of complicated. Can we really fully comprehend this as human beings? And I would say no, we can only receive it in faith. But here's some clear things that God reveals about his very character. There are not three gods, but there's only one God. And these are not each a third part of God, but each is fully God. And each of these persons is not merely a different phase or a manifestation of God, but each person is a distinct person, as we heard in the baptism this morning of Kezia. And Jeff, I skipped a couple verses, but if we could put Matthew 3 up, Jesus' own baptism, an incredible event, an incredible revelation of Yahweh as three distinct persons. As the Son of God, second person of the Trinity, comes in the flesh, is visibly standing there being baptized, and then we see the Spirit descend in a visible way, as a dove and resting upon Jesus. And then we hear our Heavenly Father speak from heaven, This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. And you know what? This morning when Kezia was baptized, God said, I'm really pleased with this event. This is my gift to this family and specifically to little Kezia. And God says, I am well pleased. Isn't it awesome how the Trinity works? Father, Son, and Spirit in unison together as one in essence. And that needs to be emphasized again. There is one God, three persons. Triune. Tri, three, un, one. And so we hear God referenced as triune God. And, you know, a good diagram that really makes it simple, I think. You know, the Son isn't the Spirit. The Spirit isn't the Father isn't the Son. But each one is fully God. It's how God has revealed himself to us. It is a beautiful revelation of God's character. And so in Scripture, though, we see that different works are ascribed to different persons of the Trinity, but not in the sense that, like with Father, creation is represented. And I wished you could maybe see that in more detail. It's one of the flowers in our backyard. But if anybody can tell me that evolved looking at that, you talk about artwork and that flower. I don't know what kind it is. I wished I knew. But it is so detailed. It's a magnificent bloom. And that's just one of all of God's creation. But in creation, we hear generally the Father ascribed as the creator, as we did in the Old Testament reading this morning, and that needed to be read. We need to hear it in the realm of evolution that is taught as fact and is, in my mind, just destroying the lives of people. It dishonors all of life, and especially human life. But what did we hear in that reading? The Spirit was hovering, right, over the waters. So God the Father is there creating. The Holy Spirit is there creating. And if we had time, we'd go to John 1 and spend time there, John's Gospel. But there we hear through Him, with reference to Jesus, through Him all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made. And so emphasizing that the Son also was there creating, because God does not divide Himself in what He does and the plans that He makes. He is perfectly unified within the Godhead. And so from eternity past, they have lived in this personal relationship with one another. And what does that look like? Well, the Son has always been the only begotten Son. When we hear begotten Son, we're bound to time, and we think, maybe the Son came later and the Father was first. No. And to the Son is ascribed primarily redemption. And it's through Jesus' shed blood on the cross and His victory over the grave that Keziah's baptism is real. It is valid. It is powerful because Jesus empowers baptism. And by the way, it needs to be said, when Jesus was baptized, He didn't need to be baptized. He didn't need it. But baptism needed Him. And look at that. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit there together working this incredible plan of salvation. And then we have the Holy Spirit. And ascribed to the Spirit is primarily the work of conversion, changing hearts from unbelief to faith. Do you know that virtually every Sunday when I come here to Trinity at 6 in the morning, there's a dove just like this, out on the top of our bell tower at the peak of the cross, and there's always a dove at the peak of the roof line at the front doors. Think about that. Is that just a coincidence? No. What a revelation God gives of His presence with us. Oh, and then we have the waters of baptism. We can see and taste and touch. We have the bread and the wine of the Lord's Supper that we can see and taste and smell and touch. And in, with, and under that bread and wine, who is present but Yahweh? He is here with us. And in the waters of baptism, who is present but Yahweh? He is with us. And so we hear in Scripture also that the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. Doesn't mean that the Father and the Son existed prior to the Spirit. No, from eternity past, which is mind-boggling, we can't even put our minds around this, the Spirit has always proceeded from the Father and the Son. But the key thing in all of this is to know that God is for you. That's what God wants us to leave with today, is to know that He, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Yahweh, the only one true living God, is for you. Do you believe that? I think a lot of times we drag ourselves around in life. We let life beat us up. We get overwhelmed by things. We get consumed by fear and worry and all kinds of things. And when that happens, are we really acknowledging and declaring that God, that Yahweh is the one and only true God, and in Him is all power and wisdom and love? We at times fail to appreciate, to trust, to recognize Yahweh for who he is. You know, and the Psalms this morning, verses 3 and 4 in Psalm 8, when I looked at the heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you had set in place, what is man, God, that you're mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? I think we can get into that mode sometimes. We can contemplate, does God even recognize me? I mean, this universe is huge. Does God even know me? God called Keziah by name. I loved your message, by the way, Luke, using names. That was awesome. God has called you and me by name. He knows us. And so to even contemplate what David was contemplating is foolish. Yes, by all means, God knows. In fact, God announces it to David as the psalm goes on, verses 5 through 8. And by the way, this also is referred primarily to Jesus, but also to you and me in the sense of the honor God bestows upon us as human beings. Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. The Lord has put us in an honorable position as human beings. We're not an accident. We're not a higher form of animal. Did you hear it in the Old Testament reading? Each thing was created in its kind. It's not going outside of its species. God created everything as we know it at creation. And so we are honored. We are special by God's design. Read Genesis 2 if you don't believe that. And in Genesis 1, as we heard it, God created us in his own image. Doesn't say that about the animal world or plant world or the universe in general, but human beings, God created in his image. We have a special relationship and a status with God, and we are here primarily to be obedient and faithful to him. And in that, to share his image, his character, his person with the world. Yahweh. We are to reflect that image of God. Ephesians 4:15-16. How do we do that? Well, you may want to look at this later today, but we speak the truth in love. And when each part is working properly, it makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. You do not see division within the Holy Trinity. You see absolute perfect unity between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and everything that Yahweh does. And what an image the church can give to the Trinity when you and I work in unity. If you don't think that's a big thing to God, just go to Jesus' high priestly prayer in, I believe, John 17. The key component of Jesus' prayers for unity, that as a church, as a body of Christ, we would be together in everything that we do. And when people outside of the church see that, they say, wow, how they love each other. Wished I could have that. And you know, I see Roger sitting back there this morning, and not an easy time for Roger Munsterman as his wife Peggy's funeral was last Friday. And yet there's Roger sitting with his church family. I bet that's a great comfort this morning, Roger. And nothing has changed in that way. You're surrounded with love today. And that's the way it is for all of us. We are here together. And in that, what a visual of reflecting the Trinity in us and among us. And then the Lord, in closing, honors us with the most wonderful thing, to be his ambassador. Wow! I mean, when I look at myself, I think, really, Lord? Maybe when you look in the mirror, you might think the same thing. Or you look at the apostles, really, Lord? Of all the people in the world that you could have called, and you call these guys? Yes. Because it's not about us, but it's all about the authority of God. And look at that. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, says Jesus. But then look, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in what? In who? The name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. the unity of the Trinity together. Every time that you go out and you share with somebody else Jesus Christ, you can be sure that the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are with you and within you. And they are speaking. You're the mouthpiece, but it's God speaking through you. And dear friends in Christ, that is powerful and life-changing. And so I pray that every day, as gruesome as the world can seem, as depressing as the news can be, as overwhelming as our problems may seem, that we can simply pray Psalm 8:1a. O Lord Yahweh, O Lord Yahweh, our Lord, King and ruler over all things, how majestic is your name in all the earth. In his name, amen.